It should come as no surprise to you when I say this. A father's relationship with his children is incredibly important to their emotional and their social well-being. The negative effects of a child without a father can be seen in countless studies. According to the report, What Can the Federal Government Do to Decrease Crime and Revitalize Communities? From the United States Department of Justice, children from fatherless homes account for 63% of youth suicides. 90% of all homeless and runaway youths, 85% of all children that exhibit behavioral disorders, 71% of all high school dropouts, 70% of juveniles in state-operated institutions, and 75% of adolescent patients in substance abuse centers. It should also come as no surprise that children do best when they know and are raised by both a father and a mother. But even when the dad is present, it doesn't mean that all will go well. Authors and screenwriters have often recognized the complex relationship that often exists between fathers and their sons, and they have used those tensions to create some very powerful stories. In the movie, The Empire Strikes Back, in the fight scene where Darth Vader reveals to Luke Skywalker that he is, in fact, Luke's father, it was maybe the most shocking father and son moment since, well, maybe probably 2,000 years beforehand in the Jordan River when Jesus was baptized and God himself announces, "This is my son with whom I am well pleased." How many other movies or TV series can you think of that revolve around the relationship between fathers and sons? I thought of That 70s Show, a TV series about a son trying not to disappoint his father. Or Finding Nemo, a movie about an overprotective father and a wayward son. Or maybe the movie The Lion King, another story about a son who feels like he just can't live up to his father's expectations. Based on our own storytelling, we humans know both how important fathers are and how difficult our relationship with them can be. In our midweek Advent series this year, we explored three different father and son relationships found in the Old Testament, all of which ended in disappointment and often in tragedy. Cain, the son of Adam, was not the promised Savior that Adam and Eve hoped that he would be. Rather, he continued in his father's sin, becoming the first man among many that would lash out and kill his own brother, Abel. Ishmael, the son of Abraham, was not the promised son either. Abraham and Sarah thought they would take matters into their own hands in order to produce an heir for Abraham. But they soon learned the folly of not trusting fully in God, trying to produce a son on their own, something that only God could do. Absalom, the son of David, despite his father's great love for him, ended up disappointing his father as well, rebelling against him, and ultimately losing his life in the process. All of these stories, both the biblical ones and the modern ones, help point us to the most complicated father and son relationship of all time. It is a story of God the Father, creator of heaven and earth, and the children he created, the sons of men. This is our story. Though we desperately need the presence of our loving Heavenly Father in our lives for our own well-being, we reject Him time and time and time again through our own sinful and foolish ways. Like Cain, we have not lived up to the expectation given to us in the Ten Commandments and have become murderers with our own sinful thoughts, our own sinful actions, and our own sinful words. Like the story of Ishmael, we have tried to take matters into our own hands, thinking that our good works would earn God's favor and God's love. But our efforts were doomed to fall short and drive us away from God's favor. Like Absalom, we rebelled against our Heavenly Father and King, wanting to rule our own lives instead. But this will only lead to death and condemnation. Rather than trust our Heavenly Father's guidance, which is always wise, which is always good, we prefer to place our trust in political figures or military might or in ourselves to find salvation in this life. Rather than listen to the truth our Heavenly Father speaks to us, we prefer to listen, place our confidence in the opinion of others. Our story is the story of a wayward and stubborn child who have a father who is even more stubborn, pursuing us out of his great love for us. It is a story perfectly captured for us in the parable of the prodigal son. I'm sure that we all know that story pretty well. The younger son is a son of somebody that is wealthy and generous, a father. But the son demanded his share of his inheritance. He may have said to him, "I wish you were dead already so I can have your stuff." And with these words, he murdered, like Cain, he murdered his father. With his actions, he rebelled like Absalom. Yet even more shockingly, the father gives him what he wants. He allows him to walk away and out of his life. Yet the father never stops looking for his son and hoping and praying that he will return one day. Though he had every reason to be, he was not angry with his son. He simply wanted another opportunity to show him how much he loved him. And finally, when his son was done wasting all of his father's money and found himself with no other resources at the end of his rope, his father got that chance. He got that chance to demonstrate just how great a love he had for his son. The prodigal son knew that he didn't deserve his father's love or even a spot in that family again. He simply just wanted to return as a servant. Perhaps he could work his way back in. And with his focus on his own ability, on his own works, he became like Ishmael. But his father wouldn't hear of it. He would have none of it. Before he could even speak, he embraced his son tightly, clothed him in the finest robe and sandals, even gave him the family ring, a symbol of the status of a son. A celebration is planned, the fattened calf is sacrificed, and the son who was once lost is found. The son who was once dead is now alive again. But the story begs the question, how could the father love his son like this? How could he just receive him back as if he had done nothing wrong? And would God do the same for us? These questions are answered by the story of Christmas. The Christmas story tells the story of the only perfect father and son relationship that ever existed. The relationship that existed before time began, and it will continue to exist throughout eternity. It's the relationship that is proclaimed in many of the Christmas songs that we sing. Of a Father's love begotten ere the worlds began to be, He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the source, the ending He. Of the Father's love begotten, verse 1. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light. From verse 3 of Silent Night. Son of the Father, now in flesh appearing, O come all ye faithful, verse 2. Now through his Son doth shine the Father's grace divine. Now sing we, now rejoice, verse 3. It is a story that is told in the first chapter of John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. Assorted verses from John chapter 1. God the Father knows how much we need him, despite our rejection of him. We need to know the Father. It's the only way to find true joy, true peace, true hope, and true life. And in order to make us children of God, God sent his only begotten Son into the world, Son of Man and Son of God, to be the perfect Son that we could never be. When the fullness of time had come, Paul explains, God sent forth his Son, born of the woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoptions as sons. From Galatians chapter 4. Jesus is the true Son of Adam, who is the promised seed foretold in Genesis 3, and who committed no murder with his thoughts, with his words, with his actions. Rather, he was murdered so that we might live. Jesus is the true Son of Adam, or true Son of Abraham, the one who would bless all nations. By taking our salvation into his hands and giving to us his righteousness, Jesus is the true Son of David, the King of Kings, who remained perfectly obedient to the Father and yet became a curse for us by hanging from that tree. Psalm 146 reminds us, put not your trust in princes, in the Son of Man, in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. But Jesus is both the Son of Man and the Son of God, the Prince of Peace. And when his breath departed, God's plan of salvation was complete. God and sinners reconciled. Because of this gift of his Son, God reveals to us in a very shocking twist that he is in fact our Father, who loves us and forgives us and gives us the right to become children of God. God adopts you and makes you part of his eternal family through your baptism into Jesus. What God said to Jesus at his baptism, God says to you now through yours. This is my Son. This is my daughter, with whom I am well pleased. You are not a fatherless child. You do not have an absentee father. Though you don't deserve it, you have a perfect relationship with your Father, who has given up his only begotten Son for you, and who will always love you, who will always care for you, and who will always shield you with his presence, just like a good father should do. And so I close on this Christmas Eve with the words from the final verse of the Christmas hymn, "We praise you, Jesus, at your birth. All this for us your God has done, granting love through his own Son. Therefore, all Christendom, rejoice and sing his praise with endless voice. Alleluia. Merry Christmas. Amen."